God. Come on, let's do it together. Oh, God. The psalmist David said, oh, how I love thy law. Hallelujah. Oh, how I love you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Why don't somebody just lift your hands and let go loose of the Holy Ghost right now? From way down deep in your soul, give Him a praise and a worship that's worthy of Him. Oh, God. Oh, God, I love you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes. God, I love you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank the Lord, thank the Lord, thank the Lord, thank the Lord, thank the Lord. My, 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 my. If... Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. From the depths of the soul, I've heard from the heights of heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. Haven't received what you came for as of yet. There is still an expectancy, and there is a storehouse that never runs dry or empties out. Hallelujah. Two powerful days, today, tomorrow. Today was worth this whole week. Today was worth the whole week. And to hear the word of the Lord and to apply it and be able to take it home and put it to use. So, so important. Praise God. Well, I thought maybe you was going to run away, but since you're not, let's preach. What do you say? Hallelujah. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Hallelujah. Verily, verse number one, verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I would like to preach to you tonight for a little while the sole purpose of the thief. And I read verse 1 and verse 10 again. Verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is as a thief and a robber. Verse 10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the life that you have tonight? Let's lift our hands together and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Savior, we love you and worship you because you have given so freely to us. We're asking for divine intervention and divine anointing and inspiration tonight in the Holy Ghost. Have your way, I pray. We ask these things in the wonderful name of the Lord. And everybody said amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. I want to especially thank the sound men for doing such a tremendous job. I hope it is good out there, and it has certainly been good up here where I have not stripped my voice. I preached at home Sunday night and kind of shut it down a little early because I felt my voice going, and I guess Brother Pierce took over for me and lost his voice, and I spared mine, but sound men have been excellent. The music has been excellent. The accommodations has been excellent. The spirit has been excellent. And our God has been... Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The passage of Scripture that I have read to you was the words of Jesus himself as he related those that would try to circumvent the doctrine or the salvation of truth that he has given to his disciples and eventually to the church. And he said, if you don't enter in the proper way, you're coming in as a thief and a robber. And then verse 10, he makes it plain the real purpose and the sole purpose of the thief, and that is to kill and to steal and to destroy. I have been broken in on three different occasions, and each time it leaves you less than happy, of course, and somewhat feeling like you have been violated. Walked up to the door one day, and the door was partially open. Lived up on the hill in Bakersfield, and got there and recognized the door had been open. I wondered whether I had left it open when I left, and when I walked in, I noticed that it had not been left open when I left, but some intruders had come and had stripped the house of some good things and left some other good things. And I've often thought of that since. You know, a thief very seldom takes everything all at once. A thief very seldom takes everything all at once. In fact, a bank robber, I pulled in Friday to deposit some money in the bank, and it was all cordoned off and police were there, and I got there about 10 minutes after a robber had been to that bank and taken care of one teller, but left the other tellers. And a thief gets what he can and runs. He's afraid to stay around too long. Sometimes they case a place. I read sometime back where a neighborhood saw a U-Haul truck back up in front of the house. They thought the family was moving out. And a couple hours later, the family came without the U-Haul, and they had discovered that somebody had come and loaded up most of their furniture and just hauled it off. Left them a bed to sleep on, that was all. You see, a thief doesn't always take everything. One time when I was broken into over in Arizona, I got home and on the side of the fence wall where kept us separated from the lot behind us, they left a whole stack of things. But they had taken some things too. The thief doesn't always take everything. The NIV translation said this in verse 10, said, "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy, and I have come that you might have life and have it to its full." Have it to its full. You see, a thief that comes to kill and to steal and to destroy in a spiritual sense will usually leave you a little something. We have a lot of religion in our world today. They haven't taken the Bibles away yet. They've left some things. But there's some things that they've stolen from us. And if somebody doesn't stand up and preach it and live it, our world will have seen a thief come, and not as one that proclaimed to be a thief, like a thief in the night either, but will have stolen the precious things that belong to the church. So you remember what Jesus said in the first verse of this chapter. He said, "He that entereth not in by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." You're only going to go to heaven by obeying the Word of God in its fullest. You have to obey the Word of God. You can't circumvent it. You can't get a blue light special. You can't go to the discount store. You obey the Word of God if you expect to be saved. But the thief always comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. It seems like the thief always leaves something. Jesus wrote these words in the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 37. Said, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and have not suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not." So I'd like to preach to you for a little while tonight the sole purpose of the thief. What you have received already at this camp could sustain you for long periods of time if you would put it into practice. But if you lay it down on the sidewalk somewhere and forsake it, you'll lose the benefit of the preached Word of God. Or if you allow yourself just to let it slip away and something be stolen from you, or something be killed on the inside of you, something destroyed in you, you'll go through the rest of your life wondering what happened at North Dakota camp. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, we've already received something from the Lord that can last till eternity if we'll keep it in our heart and hide it in our heart. And so he said, if the good man of the house would have known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched. And so in California, things have gotten pretty bad where you have to have alarm systems on your house. And some places, of course, are having 24-hour security personnel watch their house and protect their goods. And most shopping centers now have security guards around them. This has been something that has been in the third world countries for a long, long time. I preached in Africa a few years ago, And every store you went into, there was security officers around. Many of them were unarmed, but they were security officers nonetheless. And they were there. They were there to make sure that order was in place and nothing was taken. Brother Allard, who was the missionary there at the time, we drove into the yard the first night, and there's a man laying in the driveway on a little blanket. And when the headlights hit him, he jumped up, and I was startled. I thought, what in the world? And come to find out that the night watchman had already been there, and he had laid down to sleep in front of the garage so that if anybody came, he would be awakened. And he would watch that house and guard that house. We preached in South America not too long ago. And we went to the bank. And on the outside of the bank, they stood there with submachine guns and guarding the bank. We went on a cruise last year and got close to Turkey. And we stepped out on the balcony of the boat. And around us was little boat. And in that was men with machine guns guarding the boat. And I thought, wow, we are close to Iraq, aren't we? And so in our world today, they are watching for things because they know things can happen when you're not paying attention. And so I think that's really what the Lord began to talk about and help us understand in this passage of Scripture, that that we need to watch and be alert and be aware of what is going on around us. One night I was awakened by what I thought was somebody trying to open the garage door of the house. And so I went to the front door, and I had some windows on the front door, and I looked over the edge of the window, and here's this individual. At that time, couldn't quite make out who he was or what he was, but because all I could see was down on his head, and he was trying to pry the front door open with a screwdriver. I don't guess he thought he's there, but I knew I was going to be tough, and I ran back in my bedroom and got on my clothes and went out the back door. And I thought, if I get outside, would you have done something different? Oh, I thought about opening that door real fast and pulling him in and beating the thunder out of him. I thought about it. But I didn't know what he had in his hand. Now, you look at me like I was a scaredy cat, huh? What would you have done? Huh? You don't know, do you? You'd have called the cops? Well. So I went out the back door, and I thought, if I get around here far enough, I could scream loud enough and run him off. I really thought if I got out there, I could see what was in his hand. And when I got out there, he was going over the hillside and was gone, and I missed him. But you never know when you're going to be violated. I don't know how it is in North Dakota. It seems like a pretty safe place to live, and I guess it's pretty safe, isn't it? You lock your doors up here? You do sometimes? No? Now, in California, you better lock your doors. In fact, we have, where we live now on Elm Street in Bakersfield, we have the homeless people that go down the alley at night. Now, they have good intentions. They're in the precious metal business, and they're going through the trash cans looking for aluminum cans, you know. And you can hear them going down the alley. Well, if you don't close your alley gate or make sure your fence is locked or shut, no telling what will be missing the next day. I usually take things. In fact, we had a coffee pot the other day that gave up the ghost and wouldn't work anymore. And so it was sitting out in the garage in front of the car. My wife had put it out there. And so I took it out in the alley and set it right outside the fence. Next day, it is gone. I don't know whether they're using it today for what, but it was gone. And I've done a lot of things that way. Just take it out there and set it out there. Because if the trash is full or something or other, I put some curtain rods out there one time. It took about 3 days, but they finally left. You see, you never know when the thief's going to come. And so when you think about what the Scripture is talking about in this passage of Scripture, it's not talking about the things that we possess and the things that we own. It's talking about some eternal things. And the Lord said, if you climb up any other way than coming through the door, you're as a thief and a robber. Now, I don't want to alert you too much, and I don't want to be too radical tonight, but anybody trying to get in heaven without true repentance and baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost is trying to steal their way in. Somebody needs to be awake enough around the house of God to let them know there is a door. You can get in here. There is a way to get into the presence of God. Brother Enzi preached today, and oh, I love the way he preached today. And introduced to us at the close of that message a way to get into the presence of God. And I don't know how you could alert the presence of God any more than from way down deep in your soul worshiping Him. Not just a surface throat worship of praise, but down deep in your soul. Hallelujah. Now, you can praise anybody for almost anything, but you really have to believe in what they're doing to worship them. Our world can praise God in their own fashion, their own way. But I'm here to tell you, a true apostolic church is the only one that really knows how to worship God. For the Bible said, those that knew God did not glorify Him as God. They knew Him in a fashion, but they did not glorify Him. And one scripture talks about the devil. And again, we'll just briefly introduce him tonight. He's a defeated foe, but the Bible talked about him sitting on the congregation of the righteous, sitting on the congregation. I don't know whether you're going to let him come into this place tonight and steal your victory or not, but I'd just like to give him notice tonight. You better watch out. There's some watchmen around here. There's some people that are very alert and watching tonight. David was running for his life one time and took some army men with him and had joined the Philistine army, and the Philistine army had gotten a little afraid of him and sent him and his men home, and they had heard the stories of him and said, isn't he the one that they have sung about, that Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s? And they said, we better send this boy home and get him out of here. And when he got back to Ziklag, he found that his entire city had been burned, and all the women and the children had been taken, and all of the gold and all the provisions had been taken, and he had not made provisions for his family and had not made provisions for protecting those who stayed home. He took all of his men with him, some 600 men, and left just the women and the children and the stuff there. And I don't know exactly where it's situated in the map. I didn't look it up exactly, but it was away from other things and other environments. And when he got back, they noticed the smoke in the distance, and they sensed what had happened. And when they got there, they turned on David, and it looked as though they were going to stone David to death. But David called for the ephod and brought the ephod, which was the closest thing they had of a spiritual attachment at that particular time. And they begin to pray and ask God what to do. Shall we go after him? We don't even know what direction to go. We don't even know how to find them and where to go. One time we lost a wheelbarrow at the church, and some of the men followed the wheelbarrow because it left its track. And they followed it right to the guy's house, and they asked him, did you steal this wheelbarrow? No, not me. Don't know how it got here. Well, they followed the trail right to the door. And they called the cops and found all the tools on the inside. They knew he had been there. But David didn't know what direction to go. He just began to pray. And so they started out. And as they started out, they came across the boy laying in the sand there. And he was out of it. He was unconscious. And they gave him some little cakes and a little bit of water. And he kind of revived himself. And they had asked who he was. And he said, I'm an Egyptian. They said, why are you here? He said, well, 3 days ago, we came through the south part of the country and went through Ziklag and burned it and took all the women and all the children, all the stuff, and I got sick, and my Amalekite master just left me here to die. And of course, David was brought to the occasion and began to question the boy and said, can you tell us where they are? Can you lead us to where they are? And he said, wait a minute. They left me here for dead, and if I bring a whole army after them, they'll kill me for sure. If you'll promise not to lead me there or tell them about me, I'll tell you where they are. And David said, you got it, man. And so, they took off and they caught up with them. And here is all of these thieves. They're just kicked back. If you read the scripture, you can find it. They're just laid back all around the trees. And they have eaten the spoil. And they've had quite a time. And they're fat and lazy. And when David and his men came upon them, they began to slay them. And they killed every one of them, but 400 of them who took off on donkeys across the country. David started to pursue after them. But he decided he better take care of the women and children the stuff that he had. And he had left 200 men back the way a little bit who was tired and weary. And he left all the stuff they had with those 200 men. And when they got back to where those 200 men were, the men that had went with him, the courageous watchmen, the strong men, said, you know, when we get back there, we don't need to share with those people that stayed back and protected the stuff. And David rebuked them and said, you know what? We learned the first time when we took everybody with us that we needed somebody to stay there and protect the stuff and to watch over the stuff and to make sure it was taken care of. And this time we left a couple hundred men here to protect our provisions and what we had. And I just want you boys to know, yes, you went with me and we whipped them and we got our stuff back and we got all of our wives and all of our children and they weren't hurt and we preserved all of our provisions. We got all that. And we're going to share with these boys because they stayed here and watched the stuff. Hallelujah. Now, if the watchman knew what time the thief was going to come, he wouldn't go to sleep. He'd stay up all night and he would watch and he would take care of things and be careful about what was there. Did you know that the religious leaders and the political leaders of Jesus' day was afraid that somebody was going to come and steal Jesus out of the tomb? And so they had soldiers there to watch it. And they failed to realize that God, the Creator, had created the night for sleep. And those guards, he didn't have to do much to them to cause them to go to sleep. They didn't even know what had happened. And when he arose from the dead and pushed that stone out of the way and stepped out on that little old dusty trail of that graveyard and began to make its way into that garden where Mary met him that evening or that early morning time, he knew what was going to happen when he left this world, and he needed to leave somebody here to guard the stuff. And so he said, I'm coming back the same way I left. And while I'm gone, I'm leaving something with you. And you better take care of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to preach to you tonight. We have been given some very precious things. And I want to keep guard of what God has given to us. Hallelujah. I want to preach to you a few moments about something that has been stolen by the enemy of our soul. And the church world doesn't hardly know what it is. But there is an old-fashioned repentance that is still found in an apostolic church. Hallelujah. And God has given that to us. Hallelujah. I don't know whether you appreciate what repentance really is, but repentance is something very powerful when you learn the value of repentance. It is not simply just repeating a prayer. It is not simply shaking a preacher's hand. It is not simply doing some little signature on a card of membership sort. It is finding your way at the foot of the cross and weeping your way through the past and through yesterday's sorrows and yesterday's sins and failures, and saying, God, I am a sinner and I have no right to be where I am today, but I'm coming boldly before the throne of grace because I know there is provisions made for me to find access into a lively hope and a bountiful life and an abundant life living for you and living to life to its full. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. There is a measure of religion in our society. And I'm not going to pick on anybody. I just want you to know there is a measure of religion almost everywhere you go. A few years ago, I read a survey and a poll. I don't even remember where it was taken, and I should have kept the article. But in that particular region, 97% of the people claim to be Christian. If our world was 97% Christian, if America was 97% Christian, we wouldn't have abortion. We wouldn't have homosexuality. We wouldn't have the problems of STDs and sexually transmitted diseases. If our world was Christian, I'm telling you, the devil has stolen most of their faith and left them with nothing, and they don't have anything but fragments of religion left. But thank God for an apostolic church. What God gave us on the day of Pentecost, we still have. We're guarding it. We're watching it. We're protecting it. We're keeping our eyes on it. Hallelujah. I know some of your churches are small and God is blessing you, but let me remind you, you don't let the devil steal your altars away from you. Don't let the devil take that weeping moment when a sinner can walk into an apostolic church where two or three are gathered together. The Lord said, I am in the midst of them, and the devil cannot come and steal the victory of a church that recognizes the power and the unity of two or three worshiping the Lord together. Come on, church. The devil has no right to penetrate the church. The devil has no right to penetrate a saint of God. The devil has no right to take our altars away from us. And so God gave to us true repentance. I know some dignified people can look at true repentance and say, you know, I don't think that's all necessary. Look at the Kleenexes and look at the bobby pins. You know, we had a man come by and preach, and he got to laughing because I guess all of us have these little boxes with white tissue paper in them, and he was judging the services by how many empty boxes was left over. You know, we had a one box service tonight. We had a two box service tonight. Can I tell you that weeping in the house of God is still proper? I don't care how stuffy they get at the First Church of the Frigid Air. It's still proper to weep in the house of God. Hallelujah. For true repentance can only come when you bear your soul out. Now, I'm not going to get into these big words. I hardly know how to pronounce them, and certainly don't ask me to spell them. But justification is not preached a lot. Sanctification is not preached a lot. But really, you know, it's preached in other forms, but never, or not real often do we just take a lesson on justification. We refer to it and what have you. But justification is a powerful, powerful element of this great truth that we have. For when we repent of our sin, the Lord said, you're justified for being what you was. Didn't say it was all right and you're saved that way. He just said, I understand. You're justified. But if you don't have true repentance, you never meet justification. Hello? And of course, when Paul was dealing with the man that had committed such a horrible sin in the 5th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, he dealt with his repentance and his sorrow in 2 Corinthians. And he said of that man, I don't want him to sorrow unto death. I don't want him to not find some peace. And I want to restore him and build him back up. And so he began to talk to him about what was happening in his life with godly sorrow. Now, there's a difference between worldly sorrow and godly sorrow. You can sorrow because you got caught doing something. Or you can be sorrowful for what you have done and truly mean it from way down deep in your soul. And you can have a two-box night somewhere and say, God, I'm weeping, I'm weeping, I'm weeping. It seems as though my eyes have become a fountain of tears and my soul is being poured out because I have failed as a person. I have not lived for you. I have made mistakes. And the Bible said, godly sorrow worketh repentance. Hallelujah. Can I tell you that there are thieves out there that no longer want you to weep in a church? They don't want you to raise your hands in a church. They don't want you to get too loud in a church. They don't want you to worship in a church. They want to steal your victory, steal the power of the Holy Ghost. But I have news for them. We're watching the thief tonight. We're watching the thief tonight. I happen to believe that this is an apostolic camp. I happen to believe that we believe in true worship and true repentance. Hallelujah. But see, the devil always leaves something. The thief always leaves something. And so he leaves them with signing a card, shaking the preacher, said, coming forward. Oh, we had 42 come forward tonight. And 44 went backward tonight. But in an apostolic church, you never go backward. You keep climbing, keep striving, keep reaching forward. You keep reaching out. Hallelujah. And you never let the devil steal from you what you have gained. You know, when it talks about the seed being sown, it talked about the four different grounds. It talked about the one ground that landed on some surfaces where the birds came and gathered it up and stole the precious seed. And in a camp that's so powerful as this, you can have all that you have. And if you're not careful, you'll allow the devil to steal before the service even gets to this point what God wanted and intended for you to have in this service. I thank somebody tonight, and I don't know who you are, but I can sense something in the spirit. I can sense a hunger in your heart. And I can sense, as I watched individuals praying, I could see that there was a deep hunger. And you may have came the same way last camp. And when you walked away, the devil just stole that victory from you and took it out. And you came back this year, and you started all over where you started last year. And you started at the same point, and you're at the same point now. Why don't you just recognize that the devil's no longer going to steal my joy and steal my peace and steal my victory and steal the Holy Ghost from me. I'm going to be worshiping when Jesus Christ comes. Hallelujah. And so the devil will take that precious seed. Now, you know, preaching is an interesting thing, and I'm going to do a little more teaching tonight for a little while at least. And preaching is a powerful miracle of God. In the very beginning, it was the spoken word of God. He spoke the things into existence. I don't know exactly how he put the stars in space, whether he dipped his hand in something and flung the stars into space where they are and said, stay there, or whether he personally visited each area and put them there and set the particular gravitational pull and adjusted all the things. I don't know how he did it all, but I do know that he created it all. I don't know how long it took every little detail of his creation, but I do know that he didn't have some book nor some counselor or some equation to do it by. He just spoke it into existence and he said, be there, and it has been there ever since. Hallelujah. And so in God, it is infinite wisdom who put everything in place, spoke it all into existence. When he decided to have trees, he said, let the trees come forth. When he wanted the separation of the firmament, the waters from above and from beneath, he said, let the waters be separated. And when he spoke things into existence, it was the spoken word of God. I still marvel at the way God can speak to our hearts. And somebody came to me yesterday, I believe it was, might have been this morning, and said a message that was preached at this very camp was a turning point in their life. There is a miracle of the spoken word. But we went farther than that. It became the written word of God. It was repeated over and over for years in the days of Moses. And Moses then began to pen those things, and it became the written word of God. And then it became the preached word of God as it is today. I still love that good apostolic preaching. But from the time it leaves my voice and reaches your ears, if you are not careful, the birds of the air, the spirits that are in this place will steal what you should have. But you need to be alert and be paying attention, not going through your purse and writing notes and dreaming about tomorrow or trying to do a grocery list and lose and let the enemy of your soul steal what God has for you. If you listen to this morning's message, it gave you some ammunition to fight the devil. It gave you some ammunition to stand. But if you let the devil steal from you, you won't have it when you need it. Hallelujah. I'm preaching to somebody tonight that needs to focus on this service tonight and understand that tonight is my night. And I'm going to get something tonight that the devil can never take away from me. And the devil can never steal from me. I'm going to guard it. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to protect it. I'm going to keep my eye on it. I'm not going to let it go. I'm not going to let it be destroyed. I'm not going to let it be stolen. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to keep it in view. It's always going to be by me. Nobody's going to take it away from me. Well, hallelujah. Now, baptism in Jesus' name is something that cannot be stolen from you. I don't care who the devil thinks he is. But when we repent, that's us. And when we get the Holy Ghost, that's God. But when we're baptized in Jesus' name, there's an invisible connection between the name and Calvary. Hallelujah. You see, they make fun of baptism today in some circles. Oh, you don't have to be baptized. You know, that if you just believe. And you see, the devil always leaves a little. You know, a thief always leaves a little, you know. You don't have to be baptized. And I'll give you a hypothetical situation. You know, we're driving down the road and have a wreck, and we're lying there about dead. And I say, "Oh, God, I believe you." And conk, I'm gone. And don't you know that that touched the hearts of millions? And really what they're doing is stealing from them the faith that they need in a hypothetical situation. It's not a true situation. You hear him talk about it all the time. Well, what about this person? What about it? That's not my obligation. I'm not shirking or pulling back from it. It is my obligation while I have breath and eyes and ears and faith to respond to the Word of God. Hallelujah. It's my obligation to stand up here and tell you the gift of the Holy Ghost is for you. But I know some old buzzards every once in a while that get behind the pulpit that said, "Oh, you don't have to be baptized. You don't have to have the Holy Ghost. They're stealing from you." The thief only comes but for... He came to steal the very spirit of life. And there was a promise, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. And if ye eat of this tree, you will die. And he came to steal the very spirit of life from him. Abel, he took his very life. Moses, he tried to take his body because he knew that if he could get his body, he would know where his soul was. Now, I don't want to get off on this theological separation of spirit and soul, but I'm telling you that somewhere there is a soul of every apostolic born-again believer that's lying in a tomb somewhere, and they buried one today. That one day their soul is going to come back together with their spirit and be joined with their body, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. If the devil wants to steal your soul, he only has one goal, and that is to take everything that God has given to you away from you. But I have a feeling that this camp tonight is making some commitments to God, that we're going to go home and we're going to tell the preacher, "Come on, preacher, preach to me the truth. Preach to me the apostolic message. Don't let nothing be stolen from me. I want it all. I want everything. I want every bit of it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So the thief will always leave a little something or other. And so, well, since tongues have become popular, we're going to have a class, and we're going to teach you how to say some words, and you can tell people then that you have talked in tongues. See, they always leave you something. But I like good. I heard it tonight. Don't you ever quit talking in tongues. I like what I heard tonight. All across this congregation were people that were speaking in other tongues, not repeating a verse learned, not repeating something they had memorized, but they were speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Hallelujah. Now we can become professional Pentecost, and we can lose these things and let the devil just begin to steal them away from you. I just want to tell you, you need every once in a while to pray through to a new tongue. Now, I'm not going to preach a theological equation here that may differ from your theology. And you may say, "Well, you only need to talk in tongues when you receive the Holy Ghost." I'll let that stand. But I believe that there's another verse that talks about the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The renewing of the Holy Ghost. When I received the Holy Ghost as a little child, I was 7 years of age, and I lay in the floor. They covered me up with my daddy's jacket. Brother Lee was preaching a revival back in 1953. And they thought I had gone to sleep. And Sister Terry, my mother and dad, and Brother Terry, and I was the only one left in there. I was laying on the floor covered up with my daddy's jacket. They thought I went to sleep. And I don't remember a whole lot about it, but I do remember that I came through that night, and I just sat up and began to speak in other tongues because I had prayed till I'd wore myself out, and I guess wore them out too, and they'd all gone home except my folks. And I was laying there, and when I started speaking in tongues, they wondered what happened. Now, that was just 7 years, when I was 7 years of age. But that has not been the sole thing that has kept me today. If that was the last time I prayed, the devil would have stolen from me a lot of things that I have gained through the years. But I remember as a teenager and as a 12-year-old boy preaching my first message. And I remember going to children's church and them taking me home drunk. I remember praying through the baptism of the Holy Ghost on various occasions. And I don't want to boast about a tongue of my own tonight. I just want you to know there is a renewal in the Holy Ghost. Don't let the thief steal that from you. Renew the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Renew the Holy Ghost. our elder who just passed away, and I'm reflecting on him several times, and forgive me if it's on the way back. Brother Terry got to crying, and he'd been crying for quite a while. Just he'd come to the altar, and he was up in years. He was about 89 then, if I remember right. And he'd come to the altar, and he'd sit on the first pew right there, and he'd have us pray for him, and he'd just weep and cry. He said, "I want a renewal before I die. I want a renewal before I die." Now, Brother Terry was a unique man, and every time I had ever heard him talk in tongues, I could tell you how he was going to talk in tongues. I heard it. I prayed with him, and I knew what it was. You know what I'm talking about. But it was deep. There wasn't no shallowness to it. When he'd get into the Spirit, I knew what it was going to be. And I'd heard that for years. And there's a lot of people like that. And I'm not condemning it. But he got hungry for a renewal because he knew he was getting up in years. And during that revival, he prayed through to a baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he prayed through to a new tongue and a new experience. And he was so excited about it. His kids, who had been by a previous marriage before he came to God back in the 30s, and she had ran off with somebody else and trained her children to hate their daddy, and he came into church with Sister Terry, the one that we loved and appreciated so much, and their mother wouldn't let him come see their daddy. Well, somewhere along the line, they began to come around a little bit, and he began to come around them, and just a few years ago, I was sitting in his house, probably a year and a half ago now, and Christine was there, his daughter, and she's now 60 years old, 65, she had been Church of Christ, and had been taught against talking in tongues. And I went to see him, and the first thing he began to tell me is, "Brother Frost, I know what the Bible said." He said, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And God has cleansed me again. And he started off in talking in tongues again in front of this Church of Christ daughter that didn't know a whole lot about Pentecost, had been raised in Pentecost, but he wasn't ashamed of it, and he didn't care who heard. It didn't matter who was around. I was with him when a man came by to look at some of his Indian artifacts, and he had Indian artifacts all across the wall. He has some of the most beautiful stone art that was made by hand by Indians, and he began to tell him about praying through to the Holy Ghost. It didn't matter. Yes, he had had the Holy Ghost for many years. Yes, he received the Holy Ghost before he started preaching. Yes, he had prayed many, many times. Yes, he had wept before the Lord many times. But he hungered for a renewal of the Holy Ghost before he died. I wonder what would happen if every last human being in the apostolic churches of North Dakota would suddenly say, "You know what? I just want to make sure that my Holy Ghost is new and up to date and renewed. I'm not limiting God. I'm not belittling God. I'm not talking about an experience that's no good anymore. I'm sorry if you think that. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about a renewal. Oh, hallelujah. I'm talking about a new zeal, getting fired up all over again and saying, you know what? We're in the last days. We're right at the coming of the Lord. We need to have a vibrant outpouring of the Holy Ghost. The world has made fun of talking in tongues. The world has made light of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they've tried to make their own little statements about it. But I'm here to tell you, the apostolic church knows what it is to have a true, true apostolic infilling of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Where you're drunk on the Spirit and you know what it is to talk to God in a deep sense and know what it is to feel the power of God. Hallelujah. Now I'm going a little slower tonight because I don't want to bring any attention to myself tonight. I'm preaching tonight, but I don't want to mean myself when I say this, but let me stand away from it. I don't know how many years that pulpit has stayed there. It was here 2 years ago when I was here. I don't know how many years it was there, but that should be a sacred place where the man of God stands. And when the man of God preaches to you, you should pay attention to what he's saying and what he's doing when he's under the anointing of God. Because in our world today, they don't want a preacher to preach under anointing. They want to hear a speech. They want to hear a good little topic spoken about, but they want to go away the same way they came. I don't want to sound arrogant, but the Scripture did say that we know we're of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Can I say this to you in honesty and sincerity tonight? We're among the few left a people that have churches and pulpits that believe in inspired preaching of the Word of God. Hallelujah. If you have a church of five, you can have apostolic revival. When your pastor gets up behind the sacred desk, and it doesn't have to be this one, it doesn't have to be the one in your church, it doesn't have to be the one in somebody else's church, but everywhere there's a pulpit, when a man of God stands behind it, there's a place of holy reverence before God, and that preacher must have an anointing upon his life. Let me say it to us tonight, preachers, we can never get to the place that we take for granted the time that we spend behind the desk. Every time we go to the pulpit, we need to come with a message on fire and burning in our soul and preach it with everything that is in us. I'm going a little slow tonight because I don't want to draw attention to me. I want to draw attention to these men tonight, because when the preacher comes here, he's delivering something from God. It became the spoken word to the written word to the preached word of God. And then the greatest miracle of preaching has taken place when the preached word of God becomes the engrafted word of God. That means it leaves the mouth of the preacher, and before it gets to where you are, there are spirits in the spirit world that will steal the very word of God from you. You read the parable of the sower. The sower went out to sow, and the world and all of those little analogies are there. But the seed was the word of God, and the birds came and stole it. And I want to preach to you just for a few moments. When your preacher preaches, you need to pull it out of him. You need to stand on your feet at home as well as at camp and say, "Preacher, preach it to me. Preach it to me. Preach it to me. Preach it to me. I want to hear what thus saith the Lord. I want to hear what the written word of God says. I want it to become the engrafted word of God." Hallelujah, hallelujah. So the thief comes only to kill and to steal and to destroy. So if he can destroy our inheritance, and our children from generation to generation loses what we have. And I never have forgotten the times as a young boy that I prayed and sought God. I remember when I'd just gotten a new car. It was a 62 Corvair, had the engine in the back, and it was a year old before I got it. It was new to me, and it's not a prize today, but it was to me then. And a bunch of us boys went up in the hills to pray on Sunday afternoon. It's summertime in Bakersfield, and it gets hot in Bakersfield. And it's nothing to be 110, 111, 112 in Bakersfield. And I don't remember how hot it was that day, but it was hot. And we piled in that little Corvair. And we rode 10 miles off the road on a dirt and path. And we got up there where we had often gone on Friday and Saturday nights to pray. And it was out in God's Cathedral, a beautiful church. If you've never been there, you ought to try it sometime. And the stars were the lights, and the curtains were the clouds, and beautiful, beautiful. You ever been there? And so that we'd been there before, and we went back this Sunday afternoon, and we was going to pray. So we got to the top of that little mountain, and we prayed, and then we separated off, and we went our way, prayed for a little while. And we came back to the car, met the car, got in the car, put the key in the car, and it wouldn't start. And we were 10 miles off the road. And I lifted up the trunk, you know. Those little Corvair's motor was in the back, you know. I said, "Oh, there's another engine back here." No. And the back motor mount had come loose, and the motor was sitting on the ground. Now, we had just prayed. We had just sacrificed what we thought, going way out into the hillside to pray. And this is one of those things that the devil will never steal from me. And so we started walking along the paths to get home. And we got to the main road, or just before we got to the main road, a pickup truck came by and picked us up. We had stopped to get a drink, and we were spitting cotton balls. It was so hot. And we went over to found a tap of water, and we noticed that the pipe had come from a long ways on top of the ground. And we turned that water on, and it was boiling hot. And we waited for it to get cool, and it never did get cool. But we wet our tongue a little bit and went on our way. And pretty soon a pickup truck came and picked us up. And in the back of that pickup truck was an ice chest. And none of us wanted to get in the cab of that truck. We wanted to get in the bed of that truck. We got in there. We didn't ask. We just drank. We got home and we went to church. We went and got the car later. But it's things like that that you never forget in your life. And the devil can never steal that from me. I'm 58 years of age now, and God has been good to me. And there's some precious things in my memory that I will never forget because God has put them there. And I refuse to let the devil steal my inheritance. I know where I'm going. I know what my future is. And I know that heaven is my home. And I'm going to be there because one day a preacher preached to me. And I never questioned what he preached. I never doubted what he preached to me. He preached it positive. He preached it straight. And I never deviated from that other than my little careless ways as a human being. But to this day, I love what was preached. I believe what was preached. And the devil's not going to take it away from me. I still have the notes that I wrote of my pastor preaching and the messages that he preached to me. And he was my pastor until his day and dying day. And I used to always say that he was going to be my pastor until my dying day. But now he has gone, and what he has preached to me has got to be on the inside of me, and I'm going to guard what has been placed in my spirit. I'm going to protect what I have with everything that is in me. I want what God has for me today, and I'm going to watch that with everything that is in me. I must move on. I just wanted to introduce that to you and tell you the valuable things that God has given to us in this great salvation, and it's called a great salvation. There's nothing like it. There's not a church like the church. There's not a body of people like the body of Christ. There's not a bunch of people like true believers in the apostolic truth and message that we have. And nobody is going to take it away from us. And he said, I have come that you might have life, and that to its full. Hallelujah. Not just half full, not just partially full, but to its full. We have had that for now 3 nights in a row. We've had that for 4 days in a row. We're here now tonight once again to enjoy the fullness of God. Can I remind you that there's thieves out there that doesn't want us to have what we have and doesn't want us to hold the inheritance that we have, but we have something that it's going to be passed on to the next generation. There's going to be an apostolic camp in North Dakota 10 years from now. The Lord carries, and people are going to be praying through and running the aisle and worshiping God and receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost until Jesus Christ comes. Hallelujah. The book of Revelation, the 3rd chapter, and the 1st verse said unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Hear me. If we ever lose what we have received this week, we'll become dead. Dead. Twice dead. Plucked up by our roots. Cast aside. But I'm here to tell you that God has given us something that will last for an eternity in Him. And so He said these words. Be watchful. Be watchful. Keep your eyes open. And strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast, what thou hast received and learned, and hold fast and repent. And there's that word repentance again. And I want to go back to it for just a moment of time. That if you ever stray a little bit, or church ever becomes just a normal service, or if service just kind of slows down a little bit, get a hold of what is there. And repent. Say, oh no, we're not going into dead, boring churches. We're not going backwards. We're going forward. Because God has given us a special, special place in Him. Hallelujah. Now, I want to go a little bit different now. I want to put something in you, what we have and what we have possessed, and that the thief doesn't want us to have what we have. And the Lord made it plain. He taught us in prophecy to watch for His coming. He taught us in the book of Revelation to strengthen us and strengthen that which remains when there is a need for it. And we understand all of that. But I want to really tell you where we really are tonight and what we possess and what we have in our soul. In the book of 2 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I want to read to you beginning at verse number 7. It said, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Let me remind you tonight that what we have been experiencing around this place is not from us. You didn't pour it down. You didn't work it up. You didn't play it down by instrument. It is something that came from God. And if you ever lose that and let the devil steal from that, you will not be full. But God wants you to be full. He wants you to have the abundant life. He wants you to have it overflowing. And the Bible said we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Hallelujah. I don't know what you count the Holy Ghost to be, but I'm here to tell you the Holy Ghost is better than anything in all of the world. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. I'm going to guard the Spirit of God. I'm going to protect our church. I'm going to protect our altar. I'm going to protect the preached word of God. But I'm going to protect the Spirit of God that is on the inside of me. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. I said we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You can't compare it to gold. You can't compare it to platinum. You can't compare it to Fort Knox. You can't compare it to Citibank. You can't compare it to anything. There's nothing like the Spirit of God. It is a treasure in an earthen vessel. It's a treasure in an earthen vessel. And so the writer went on to say, and here is why it's so valuable. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Hallelujah. We are troubled. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about why we have to have church like we have church. Our world is troubled. They don't even go to church unless they're in town. If they're out of town, they're on vacation. And really, they're on vacation from God all the time. Hallelujah. I'm fixing to preach for a little while tonight. Hallelujah. We're troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. I listened to Brother Puckett today, and forgive me, Brother Puckett, if I bring up memories. But he began to talk about going out of the hospital room, and the nurses said, "I don't understand what's happening with you folks. You go out of here smiling," and you told them why you went out of there smiling. We're troubled, but we're not perplexed. When tragedy comes, we have something on the inside of us that's stronger than what's in the world. Don't lose it, church. Don't lose it. Guard it. Watch it! Love it! Hallelujah. Let me preach on. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted. Oh, I wouldn't go to that church. I wouldn't be an obstacle like that. I wouldn't stick out like they stick out. Oh, go ahead and say whatever you say. I just happen to know who my daddy is. I know who I have an inheritance with. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I didn't come here tonight downcast and destroyed. I came here tonight full of faith. Hallelujah. And the devil's not going to steal my faith. He's not going to kill my joy. And he's not going to destroy my inheritance. I have an inheritance in God that I'm going to live with Him forever. I'm going to inherit all that He has. I'm going to walk on streets of gold. I'm going to walk in the streets of that city. I'm going to claim all that's mine. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of Him today. I'm willing to tell the world what I have is better than anything the world has. I have a hope beyond this world. Somebody get the 6th chapter with me and follow as I read, if you would. The 6th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians said, "We then, as workers together with Him," with Him, hallelujah, "beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain." That means that you have received something and somebody stole it from you. You got it, but no longer does it work like it ought to work. It's not the Holy Ghost's fault. It's not the Word of God's fault. It's not God's fault. It's our fault because we've neglected it. And He told us not to neglect this great salvation. You can't leave it on a bench somewhere and pick it up later. You can't go out on Friday night and say, "I'll be back on Sunday night." You can't play with this, my friend. The devil will steal every bit of faith you have, and you'll lose the joy of the Lord to where you wonder whether you can ever make it back. And I just remind you that I have heard them. I've heard several. I cannot tell you how many that has told me it's so hard to get back. I'd like to get back, but it's so hard. I say the song said that same road will take you back again. You might as well just turn around where you are and head back to Calvary. It's not all that hard, friend, when you repent of your sins and find godly sorrow and begin to walk back towards Calvary. Hallelujah. Lest we have received the grace of God in vain. Reading on, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time acceptable. And in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. And behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense to anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God. Did you know that some people lose the blessings they have because they blame the preacher for preaching it too straight? Did you know Brother Enzi made it plain to us the other day that our holiness is predicated on the holiness of God? And when we understand how holy God is, then we understand why he's asked us to do what he's asked us to do. He doesn't want us to look like the world, fit in with the world, act like the world, talk like the world, and then come in and try to act like the Acts of the Apostles Church in the second chapter of the book of Acts. It doesn't work. You can't, with all of the laden down things the world puts on you and all the fake and the make-believe that they make you to look like, you can't really please God that way. And he said it so well when he said, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. I don't want to be burdened down with the things of the world and cannot lift my hands to worship God and let guilt and sorrows from yesterday cause me to lose what I have and then blame it on a preacher somewhere. I might as well preach on that a little while. Church, hear me well. A preacher doesn't mean to hurt you. A preacher doesn't mean to kill you. A preacher doesn't mean to drive you away. A preacher is trying to preach to you the Word of God. And sometimes he demonstrates the emotions of God in it. And sometimes God puts it on his heart as a burden to preach to you. I'm preaching to somebody tonight. Don't get offended at the ministry and lose what God has given to us. Don't get offended at a message and walk out on God. It's not God, it's our own spirits, and the devil has stolen our faith from us and taken the privilege of true worship from us. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments. I know this is a little different. I knew it was different than the last three nights. We're talking about reality now. When troubles come, when sorrows come, when there's sorrows that beat against your soul. Listen, he said, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left. And that's where he picks up a little something different. Somebody has it for me. Begin reading. On the right hand and on the left. He talked about the sorrows. He talked about the difficulties. He talked about the struggles. And then he talked about some of the good things. I want you to know those things that belong to us are ours. And it's an inheritance of an apostolic church. But when he said those things that are on the right and those that are on the left, what else did he say? By honor and dishonor. Oh, I'm going to walk away now because I didn't get the honor I thought I deserved. The pastor didn't choose me for what I thought I wanted. Read it. By honor and this is why you can't let the devil steal your Holy Ghost. If your pastor sees that somebody else needs to be in an office and for some reason has another place for you, and you as pastors have sought the will of God, don't you get upset at them. God may have something better for you. God has something to grow in your life that'll make you stronger maybe somewhere else. Don't you say, oh, that's dishonorable. Look what his pastor did. Now I'm preaching to you tonight. My honor? Left hand or right hand? Just, what are you going to put on the left? We conservatives put everything on the left. On the left hand was dishonor. But on the right hand was
daughter.